Turn to Luke 2. Heath, is all the family here? All you tonight? Will all everybody be here tonight? Okay. Just a little junior church. We had a boy got saved here that was a Jehovah's Witness. And Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not allowed to celebrate Christmas. And really, they don't believe Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Anyway, they don't believe it. They don't believe that he was God and that he died for our sins. They don't believe that. They don't believe that at all. So a boy named Dwayne got saved, and he would spend his Christmas at our house. And he enjoyed it. But I know Jesus Christ wasn't born on December 25th. If some of y'all may be shocked, but he wasn't born on December 25th. It was probably around October. You say, why did we celebrate? Well, when the world celebrates Christmas and gives him honor, we'll go along with it. And we'll celebrate. We still, he was born. And in Luke chapter 1, go to Luke chapter 1, it describes what happened. And like I said, Jehovah's Witnesses and a lot of different religions, Islam, Buddhism, and out of the 7.5 billion people on the planet, only really Christians, and lost people do too, they celebrate Christmas and around the world. But a lot of religions don't celebrate Christmas. They don't look forward to Jesus Christ or anything else. But the fact that he was born, you can't change. He was born. And the Bible talks about he was born of a virgin. And no religion ever proclaimed or even foretell about Jesus Christ being born of a virgin or their so-called Savior. Now, the Islam, they believe their Messiah in Islam, Muslim, they believe their Messiah is going to come from a man, which physically they believe that it's going to come from a man. When you study religion, you start saying, man, what a thing people believe. Now, I'm going to say this. If you're visiting with us, I don't like religion. I don't like religion. And I don't think God does either. And when Jesus Christ came on this planet, when he was on this planet, the religious people was trying to kill him. They're the ones that try to kill him. And they were always after him. And he was always preaching to them. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 1. It says in verse, we're going to have to skip through a lot of this. There was in the days of Herod, verse 5, king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abba, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So you had, this is John the Baptist's father and mother. Now look at verse 13. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayers is heard. And thy wife of Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John. That's John the Baptist. Jesus Christ and John the Baptist were cousins. They were cousins. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. So then, here's John the Baptist being born, and Zacharias didn't believe it. He didn't believe that his wife, being of old age, going to have a child. He didn't believe it. And then, look down to verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. And I told you before, we were in Nazareth when we went to Israel, and we got to go to church in Nazareth on a Sunday morning. And we went there, and they were all Arab, all Arab Baptists, saved people. You say, they're my brothers in Christ. Went to church with them on Sunday morning. What a thing. I think I told you church 100 times. I shouted one time. They thought I was a suicide bomber. And they were scared to death. And it says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. That's verse 27 of Luke chapter 1, verse 27. And the angels came unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And it says, and he saw, for she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Mary was probably about 17. She's about 17 years old, maybe 18. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. She was not a perpetual virgin. The Bible says that she had children after Jesus. The Catholic Church teaches that she was a perpetual virgin. She never had no children. That's wrong. They teach Peter was never married. That's wrong. That's not what the Bible says. So when, like I said, when it comes to religion or the Bible, you believe what the Bible says. Because religion teaches falsehoods. And we don't believe religion. We believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says in verse 30, an angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And Mary was just another woman that was in Israel, a Jewish woman that was clean, that was dedicated to God. And God was looking for a vessel to use for, to bring forth his son. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. In verse 31, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, Jesus Christ has not got that fulfillment yet. He has not got the throne of his father David yet. That's coming. That's coming. And look what the Bible says. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, see, Jesus Christ was born the baby in Bethlehem. He was born in the manger. And the Bible says the shepherds came from the field to see him. Then by the time he was 2 years old is when the king, when the wise men from the east came. So they, a lot of times they get the wise men and everybody mixed up. But the wise men came after, when he was 2 years. I'll show you that in a minute. But the shepherds came from the field to see him when he was born. And the Bible says, he shall reign over his house Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was a virgin. And the Bible says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Now you can't find no religion like Buddhism. You can't find Islam and all that to find where the Son of God came onto a virgin and was born. That was a prophecy being fulfilled. It was a prophecy hundreds of years before. Take your Bible, hold your place there. Look in Isaiah 7. Look in Isaiah 7. Here's a prophecy that's been fulfilled. All the way through the Old Testament, you'll find prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfills. He fulfills in his life. And then the Bible talks about a prophecy which he's still going to fulfill. It's coming again. If he came, was born, he fulfilled the prophecy. That means he's coming back. He's going to fulfill prophecy. He's coming back soon. Look at Isaiah 7. Look at verse 14. Look at Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The Bible says a sign. Now, the Bible says Jews seek after a sign. We as Gentiles, we live by faith. But here's a sign. A sign to the Jewish people. Jesus said, I've come only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But we got in on it. The Gentiles got in on it. Thank God. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Has 8 letters in it. Jesus has 5 letters. But his name is going to be called Emmanuel, which is 8 letters. Means a new beginning. 8 is a number of new beginning. 5 is a number of death. Jesus Christ was born to die. Born to die. Here's a little baby in a manger. We're going to die at 33 and a half years old. He came to die for what? For you and me. For the world. Came to die. 5 letters, death. The Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Shall call his name Emmanuel. And butter and honey shall he eat. And he shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For behold, the child shall know to do, refuse the evil, choose the good. And the land thou shalt hoard shall be forsaken of both her kings. There's a prophecy that was being told that when her land was going to be forsaken of her kings, when Jesus Christ was born, he was born in the time when Rome ruled the world. Rome ruled the world. Now you read your Bible, you'll find that the Jews were constantly, when they rejected God, 2 Chronicles, when they rejected the Lord, they went into captivity. And Daniel shows up and gives you a prophecy in Daniel chapter 2 about this image that the 4 kingdoms that was going to rule the world. Rome was the last kingdom, and they're still ruling now. They're still ruling. Because why the image has legs, one of the legs represents the political power of Rome, and the other represents the religious power of Rome and what the Bible teaches. So this is prophecy, what the Bible teaches was going to happen. So here Jesus Christ was born at the time of the taxation. Hey, and you'll read this here in the Bible. I'm trying to cover everything real fast because I know the time is slipping by. But look back to Luke chapter 1. Look back to Luke chapter 1. It says, then said Mary unto the angel, verse 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And then in verse 36, it says, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, and who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And look at verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, when she walked in the room, Mary, the babe, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. It says, whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb. That was John the Baptist in Mary's womb. I mean, in Elizabeth's womb. Leaped inside of her. Why? When Mary came in the room and she said, hello, and the baby went, woo, glory, inside her womb. The Son of God was in her womb. Now look at this. And Mary, verse 46, said, my soul doeth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. He said, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. She was blessed. It says, she was not sinless, though. And for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. So, I mean, Mary starts prophesying. She starts telling you things. And she starts telling Elizabeth. And the Bible says in verse 74, and that he would grant unto us, and we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. And it came to pass, chapter 2, in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing, see, when Caesar Augustus sent out this decree, all the world had to be taxed. All the known world that they conquered. And I mean, that was the world. And his taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. They had to go back to their city or to their place where their lineage was and pay their taxes. And to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, before all this, God told Joseph that Mary had a child and Joseph was going to put her away. He said, man, how can this woman be pregnant? We've never touched her unless she's running around. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And she agreed to allow the seed of Jesus Christ to be in her womb. And Joseph, as he thought upon these things, God, the angel Gabriel came to him and said, hey, she's clean. She's holy. She's a righteous woman. And what she has in her womb is the Son of God. And Joseph accepted. He believed God. Amen. That took a lot of faith. Yeah. Yeah. For a man to believe that. To believe that his espoused wife, they were engaged. And she was pregnant. That she was of the Holy Ghost, had a child in her womb. And that was a great man. He believed God. And you go on down, and then the baby was born. And look at verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The world never has room for Jesus Christ. They're always trying to get rid of him. And there always will be. And there we're in the same country. You hear on the news, these cities are saying, no manger scenes, no singing, no none of that stuff. The world's constantly trying to get rid of the Son of God. But I'm going to tell you something, they can never get rid of him. Amen. Never will. Never will. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's not the baby in the manger anymore. Amen. He's coming back. And it says in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know what swaddling clothes is? That's death clothes. Death clothes. Jesus Christ came as a baby. We learned the obedience, the Bible says, as a man. And the Bible, 12 years old, he's sitting in a temple preaching to these elders. And then at 30 years old, he starts his ministry. So look here. It says, unto you is born this day, verse 11, in the city of David, chapter 2, verse 11, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. And look at verse 13. Suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. I want to say this morning. When we was in Israel, we couldn't go to Bethlehem without a Arab guide. The Arabs control Bethlehem. I'm going to say this. The devil constantly, you'll find here in your Bible, when Herod find out that these wise men came from the east, he finds out, he said, go find him, bring me word again so I can go worship him. He wasn't going to worship him, he wanted to kill him. So, and you find in your Bible in Luke chapter 2, and we'll read on, you'll find that Herod kills all the children 2 years old and under. Because God warned Joseph, get Mary and the baby down to Egypt. And he leaves the area, and Herod kills all the children 2 years old and under. That was another prophecy. Jeremiah. I mean, man, there's prophecy after prophecy being fulfilled. And Jesus Christ was taken down into Egypt and brought back when Herod died. And the devil's constantly been trying to stop God's people, stop the seed of Jesus Christ. You find in the book of Esther, if you go back to Esther, there was going to be a genocide. If you read the book of Esther, take your Bible, look back in Esther for a minute. There was going to be a genocide, just like what Adolf Hitler tried to do. Adolf Hitler tried to wipe out the Jews. See, the Jews don't believe that the Messiah come yet. But Adolf Hitler had a thing, same way with Mussolini, same way with the Soviet Union. They wanted to wipe out all the Jews, but they weren't able to. In Esther, you'll find there was a guy named Haman. Take your Bible, look back in Esther. And a guy named Haman tried to wipe out all the Jews. The Bible says in the Medes and the Persians. While Esther is being written, what being recorded, you had Nehemiah and Esther. I'm going to give you a little Bible history. You have Nehemiah and Esther, and Nehemiah, it goes back to rebuild Jerusalem after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. And Nehemiah goes back with Ezra, and Ezra starts teaching the people how to sacrifice in the temple and how to prepare themselves. So Esther chapter 1, you'll find, look at verse 1. Hold your place in Luke. Look in Esther chapter 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even on Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. This guy ruled the known world, just like Rome. This was the Medes and the Persians. Nebuchadnezzar came, and he was the ruler of the world. He destroyed the temple. He destroyed Jerusalem. He took the Jews into captivity. And the prophecy was in Jeremiah that they were going to be in captivity for 70 years. Why? Because they rebelled and rebelled and rebelled and rebelled and rebelled against God. So the devil in Esther, the devil is trying to destroy all the Jews so you destroy the Messiah. You destroy the seed that Jesus Christ was going to come. So you find a guy named Haman, and he becomes under the king, Ahasuerus, and he gets a decree going that destroy all the Jews. The king doesn't even know it. But in the meantime, God set it up. And the reason why I'm telling you all this, God is always watching over his children. He's always watching over his people. And God can orchestrate things, and the devil's orchestrating things. The devil can't do nothing unless God allows it. But in the book of Esther, she's not in the line of Jesus Christ. Esther is a Jew girl. She's a Jewish girl. And what happened in chapter 1, you'll find the king of the Medes and the Persians, his wife got rebellious being the queen, which that was dangerous for in the Medes and the Persians because the king could have his wife killed. And she says, I'm not going to come in there. She rebels against her husband. And by the being queen, she rebels. And then he puts her out of her office as queen. And he says, they said, all his wise men came to him and said, hey, if she does this in front of to you, all the women in our province, all the women are going to rebel against their husbands. This is not good. And over rebellion of a woman, which was a queen, they choose a girl. She was a Jew. Her name was Esther. She was an orphan, but her uncle took her in, Mordecai. He takes her in as his own daughter. But she's chosen. When they went out throughout the kingdom looking for women, young virgins, that they could present to the king that would be the next queen. And Esther was chosen. And Esther didn't tell nobody she was a Jew. Didn't tell nobody. You read the chapter. I mean, you're talking about an interesting story, man. You read that thing, and at this time, a guy named Haman comes in authority with the king. And he gets all this authority, and people had to bow to him. Wherever he walked, wherever he went, they bowed to him. Here, Esther's the queen now. She's a Jew, but she doesn't tell anybody. She doesn't tell the king that she's a Jew. And at this time, she's in Persia, and Nehemiah and Ezra is down there in Jerusalem rebuilding the temple at almost the same time. And this thing's going up on in Medes and the Persians. And Esther becomes queen. And Ahasuerus, the Bible says he loved Esther. And this guy Haman, he was an Agite. I mean, if you were Agite, that's pretty bad. It's like a maggot. But he was an Agite. And this guy hated the Jews because of Mordecai, her uncle. But Mordecai, he overhears these two chamberlains that was the king. They wanted to kill the king. And he tells Esther, and Esther tells the king, and they have these guys killed because they plotted against the king. But nothing was done for Mordecai. He didn't get no recognition or nothing. So Haman goes to the king and says, there's a people that their laws go against their kingdom. They go against you, king. He said, if you'll let me, I'll give you 10,000 pieces of silver. If you'll let me, I'll annihilate them. Genocide. Wipe them all out. And the king goes, all right. Still doesn't know his wife's a Jew. He said, yeah, go ahead. Hey, he said, tell you what, you just keep the 10,000 pieces of silver. Just kill them all. He seals it with his ring. And it says, kill them all. So Haman goes out there going, woohoo! He walks by Mordecai, and Mordecai doesn't bow to him. He says, don't worry, your days are coming. I'm going to get you. And then the Bible says they casted lots to figure out the right day to kill all the Jews around the world. And they sent letters out, like posts. The Bible says they sent posts out. That's where you get the postman from. That's from the Bible, the postman. And they sent those letters out to kill all the Jews. And Mordecai, he's happy, and he goes home to his family, and he rejoices. He says, I tell you what, you know what? I'm going to make something special for Mordecai. Since he won't bow before me, he won't give me recognition. So he had a gallows built. He wanted to hang Mordecai so all the Jews would see Mordecai hanging in the court of the king. So he builds these gallows to hang Mordecai, and then he sent out these posts to kill all the Jews on a certain day. It was a certain day. They said, this is the best day to kill them all. Hitler killed 6 million in gas chambers. You think the devil is not behind some of that stuff? Why is it one people on the face of the earth that they've been trying to annihilate for thousands of years? You know why? Because the seed, the Messiah, the devil knew it. The promise was, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He shall save his people. So all the way back, Moses in Egypt, they put him in slavery. Going across the Red Sea, the sea opens. Pharaoh comes after him, trying to annihilate the Jews. Esther, Mordecai goes in sackcloth and ashes and starts praying and fasting. And Mordecai, and Esther finds out that her uncle's out there in sackcloth and ashes and crying and praying. She goes, what's going on? Find out what's wrong with my uncle. Find out. So she sent her chamberlain out there. That was her waiter, you know, her butler-like. And he goes out and says, what's wrong? And she said, he gives her the paper and says, go back and tell Esther, said, maybe God put you in that position for such a time as this. That's to save the people. And she goes back and shows Esther what Haman had done. He sent out these posts to kill all the Jews at a certain day. It hadn't come yet. So she reads this thing and she fasts. She tells him, she said, go back and tell my uncle I'm going to be praying and fasting for 3 days. Then I'm going to go before the king. And if he doesn't hold the golden scepter out, and when she walked in that back, he was sitting on his throne. And he had to hold out the golden scepter for her to come in. She said, if he doesn't hold it out, I'm dead. I'm dead. She said, but I'm willing to take that chance. And asked her uncle to fast and pray and asked all the Jews to pray. And they all started praying. Here, I'm telling you, folks, this was a death or life situation. And when it came to Jesus Christ being born, that was a death or life situation. Amen. And man, you sitting here this morning, you're saved. You've been bought with a price. You belong to God. I belong to God. And the Lord's watched over you. And when you get to heaven, he's going to show you how many times he protected you and took care of you and how he loved you. And how he's, man, just fed you. Right. Here, you're going to find all that. And man, you don't love him to serve him. Right. Yeah. Woo! Amen. Every time I think about how much he did for me and my family, he saved my life. Physically and spiritually. And Haman's rejoicing at his house. He gets invitation from Esther after she fasted and prayed. And she invited Haman and she invited the king. And Haman says, hey, to his household. He said, look here. He said, I'm such a great man in this kingdom that the queen invited me to her house to eat with him. Just me, her, and the king. Wow. I'm a great man. His family's rejoicing with him. They're rejoicing. What a great man you are. Man, you have really made something out of yourself, you Agite. You really made something out of yourself. And he goes, I sure did. Matter of fact, the king let me keep the money. I'm going to have them all. I'm going to have my problem taken care of, all of them wiped out, and I'm still going to have my money. So you read that story. See, a lot of times you think the Bible stories are boring. Like I said, at this time, it's in the Medes and the Persians. And down in Jerusalem, they're fighting with some other folks trying to rebuild the temple, trying to get the walls up. Ezra. So Esther, she calls Haman. She calls the king in. The king comes in, they're rejoicing. And so she says to the king, she reveals that she's a Jew. She said, king, there's a man in our kingdom that hate me and my people and wants to annihilate us. And she said, I plead with you for my life. And he said, who? Who's trying to kill you? Who's trying to kill your people? The king is the one to put the stamp on it. Yeah. He never even checked it out. Yeah. He said, who? She said, that evil Haman right there. And he, Haman would stand over there. He went, me? And the Bible says the king went out into the balcony. He was trying to figure out what to do. And the whole time, and then Haman, she's laying on her bed. Haman jumps on the bed and starts trying to plead with her. And he comes back in and says, what are you trying to do, force my wife too? He said, take that sucker out. And the chamberlain that knew it all, he says, hey king, he's standing there. As the butler, he said, hey king, Haman built a gallows for Mordecai. You want to take care of him that way?
Yeah. Amen.
So he says, get him out of here. And the guards come in, snatch Haman, and they take him out and hang him on the gallows. And then letters went out with another post telling the Jews, you're not going to be annihilated. Protect yourself. And sent out a decree to save the people. What? The devil was constantly trying to destroy the seed of Jesus Christ. For him to be born of a virgin. And then the Bible says, look at here. Look at Matthew chapter 2. Look at Matthew. Most people don't know all this. Matthew 2. Matthew 2, look at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. That's not the shepherds that were there when he was born. See, the shepherds were there right close by, and they looked up in the sky. They're out there with their sheep, and all of a sudden these angels show up. And you say, what angel do you think it was? It was Gabriel with all his angels. And they're singing, glory to God in the highest. And the shepherds going, woo, let's go see. In Bethlehem, let's go see him. So they walk into a barn. You say, where was Jesus born? He was born in a barn. That's what we say to our kids. Where were you born? In a barn? Shut the door. Jesus Christ was born in the barn. And then here, look here. Behold, there came on wise men from the east to Jerusalem. You say, where were they coming from? Man, they probably came from Iraq. See, civilization started in Iraq, Mesopotamia, around that area, where mankind was started. That's where all Job. Rest of them there. And look here. It says, saying, where is he born of king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. You know, people worship other stars. Out in Hollywood, we was out there and walking at people worshiping stars, but that's the wrong ones.
Yeah, amen.
They're in Los Angeles. Angels. Here's a real star. I mean, Jesus Christ is the real star. They had a guy stand out. I would say this. We was out there with a guy, big old boy, standing out that had a Superman outfit. He looked like Superman, I'm telling you what. He was big. And he took a track, though, when we witnessed to him. Batman, he didn't want to hear it. And you know why? Because he's a stinking bat. And he didn't want to hear it. And then we ran into Iron Man. You know, Iron Man, he's hard-hearted. So we ran into all them characters out there. They're standing on the street trying to peddle money and stuff. But look here. Look back to chapter 2 and verse 2 of Matthew. Saying, where is he born, a king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard that these things, he was troubled. He said, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet. So Bethlehem, when we were in Jerusalem, we went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and as we was coming out of the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a whole bunch of Muslims standing there, said, hey, you all want to go to Bethlehem? You couldn't go in. I could not go into Bethlehem unless I had an Arab guide. Anything over in Israel, what the devil tries to do and religion tries to do is cover up anything about the Bible being true. Anything about Jesus Christ being God. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus Christ is God. Mormons don't believe Jesus Christ is God. And then, you know, and then the Catholic Church don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save from your sins. They believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't believe he's the only thing. You have to have church. You have to have catechism. You have to be baptized. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. I mean, they're constant. You do something, it works. So here, the Bible says the whole Jerusalem was troubled because the king was troubled. And it's the thou, verse 6, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, thou art least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor. Ooh, that shall rule my people Israel. Is Jesus Christ ruling yet? No, that's future. We're 2,000 years from the birth of Christ and the death of Christ. It's future. It's still coming. He's coming back. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, required of them diligently what time the star appeared. Here, Herod's worried about his position. He was worried about them putting him out of position. He thought this was going to happen right now. It says, he privately called the wise men. Look, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He lied. You know, worship comes from within. And you know, we call this 11 o'clock worship service. I hope when you came into church, you wanted to worship God. It comes from in here. When we're singing, it's praising him. But worship comes from a thankful heart. Worship comes also with sacrifice. Not my will, but thine be done. Being in church, doing what you're supposed to do, comes a sacrifice at times. Worship. Look at this. And when they heard the king, they departed, verse 9, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Notice it says the young child. He's not a baby no more. So 2 years is going by. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. When was the last time you worshiped God? When was the last time you said, thank you, Lord. Appreciate what you did for me. I love you, Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. He fell down and worshiped him. And they had opened their treasures. They presented on him gifts, gold, king, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh for, frankincense was for a prophet or a priest, and myrrh for a prophet. So being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country and away another way. God said, don't go back and tell him anything. All he wants to do is kill Jesus Christ. So I'm telling you, the devil's constantly trying to kill the seed. And you go all the way through your Bible, you'll find that. I'm going to tell you something else. The devil will try, any seed that you try to put out, the word of God, the Bible tells you that the devil will try to destroy the seed. When you put the word of God out, even in your own life, if you witness, that's why it's so important for you to live for God and be a witness to people. Why? You're planting seeds. You're planting seeds. Brother Mike just told me this morning, the church, they came up with a new track. And all the kids are going to go out, they're making a commitment to put out tracks. And three a day, planting a seed. Planting the seed of the Word of God. And the Bible says God's Word will not return void if you plant the seed. So look here. I'm jumping all over the place, but that's all right. And it says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord, verse 13, appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there till I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and that was there until the death of Herod, that he might fulfill which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. There's another prophecy Jesus fulfilled. Now look at verse 16. I'm going to show you something. When Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramoth was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not. And when Herod was dead, that's when God says, okay, bring him back. Bring him back. See, this whole thing about Jesus Christ being born is so important. It's so important. If he wasn't born, he didn't live for God. I mean, he didn't live in the position as the Son of God, living for God, being God in the flesh. The Bible tells us this. It's a mystery. Take your Bible, look in Colossians chapter 1. Take your Bible, look in Colossians chapter 1. The Bible tells you the greatest the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Look at this. Colossians 2. I'm going to have to hurry. Time is going by so fast. There's so much to this, folks. Colossians chapter 2, look at this. Colossians chapter 2, and look at verse 2. It says, and that their hearts might be comforted. I'll back up to verse 1. And I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knitted together in love, until they're all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God is the one that gives knowledge and gives the treasure. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. The devil, he tries to steal the seed. So the seed is the word of God to teach you the truth. And what the devil tries to do is bring Jehovah's Witnesses around, Mormons, or new Bibles. We believe the King James Bible. He'll bring Bibles around and he'll try to confuse you. Right after I got saved, I ran into Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. I ran into all these. I never ran into them before I got saved. After I got saved, I ran into these people, and they started confusing me. I didn't understand. I started reading the book. I started reading the Bible. I started understanding then. I realized the devil's trying to send people around to confuse you, to keep you messed up, where you won't be able to put the seed out. It's all about the seed. It's all about the seed. Amen. And it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. Look at verse 4 of Colossians 2. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and rejoicing, beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, established. Know what you believe, why you believe it. Know what you believe and why. It says, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after traditions of men, after rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And it's a mystery, the Bible tells us. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him, which is the head of principalities and powers. And go on down and look at, go to 1 Corinthians 2. We'll go a couple more verses and that's it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. All right. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Look what it says. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God, a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which is God ordained before the world unto our glory. For none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man, what the things that God had prepared for them that love him. So God's preparing stuff, and he's showing you a mystery, and the mystery is Jesus Christ being born of a virgin and being born in this world as God in the flesh. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Now take your Bible, look back to Colossians chapter 1. Look at one more verse. This is it. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Not only is Jesus Christ born as God in the flesh, he's God in the flesh. If he wasn't God in the flesh, then he died on the cross in vain. He was born in vain, and he died in vain. But he was God. So how in the world can God... I mean, you think about it. God came down to be born of a woman, to be able to be handled by men. Mary had to change his diaper. She had to feed him. She had to care for him. And he grew up, God in the flesh. You know why? The devil constantly accused God. You don't know, you made man, but you don't know what man's going through. You don't know how they suffer. So Jesus Christ was tempted in all points as you are, yet without sin. Went to a cross. But then after he died on the cross, he said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house of many mansions. He's sitting at the right hand of God. But also the Bible says he's inside each one of us. Take your Bible, look in Colossians 1. He's inside of us. He put his Holy Ghost inside of us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Look at this. He says, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me and by coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of gospel, and nothing terrified of your adversaries. And then it says, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now hear it be in me. And I said one more. Take your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 1 to make sense of this. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse, I thought I had it written down right. I'm looking for a verse where it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Go back to Colossians. I passed over it. There it is, right there. It's always been there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, there's seven mysteries in your Bible. And the one mystery is God became man. And the second mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have his seed inside of you. When you ask Jesus Christ to save you, the Bible tells us being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which is abided forever. He's inside you. God's seed is inside you. The devil is going to constantly try to destroy God's seed. It's in you. I'm talking about in your heart. And the devil's going to constantly destroy. That's why he tries to keep you in confusion. He'll constantly try to keep you in derision. He'll try to get you confused and make you doubt your salvation once you got saved. He'll get to the place where he'll try to get you to take pills or be depressed or something. He'll try to get you where you won't serve God, won't open your mouth about Jesus Christ. And you got the seed inside you. The devil's constantly trying to destroy the seed. And he's going to constantly try to destroy you. You're the seed inside you once you're saved. So you better be on guard. There's a Herod. There's a Haman out trying to destroy the seed and destroy you. And you say, who is it? It's the world, the flesh, the devil. He's constantly trying to destroy you, to get you to doubt God. When you ask, how many of y'all in this room say, preacher, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven when I die. All right? You've got the seed inside you. If you're saved, you've got the seed inside you. And the devil's going to try to keep you messed up, man, screwed up, get your mind all messed up. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Get your mind right by the word of God. This world is not my home. One day the Lord's coming back. And he's coming back soon. I've had people tell me, lost people. I'm sitting on the plane. I have people tell me, say, man, this world can't go on much longer like this. I mean, you got wars, rumors of wars. You got all this stuff going on around the world. They say, man, something's got to happen. I know what's going to happen. You read the Bible, you know what's going to happen. The Lord's going to come back. I mean, you know what the next book after Esther is? The next book is Job. The next book is Job. Job is 42 chapters, 42 months. That's a Jew going through the tribulation period. The next big event that's going to happen is the rapture of the church. It's going to be a rupture, but it's a rapture. And the Lord's going to take his children, his seed, out of here. And then there's going to be tribulation. If you're not saved, God have mercy. You think the big thing is the Republicans fighting the Democrats? No, it ain't. When we was in Israel, we saw Calvary, we saw the tomb, and brother, I got it on video, brother Glenn saying the most important event that happened in all world history happened right here, and the world walks on by like nothing ever happened. All they want to do is celebrate Santa Claus. Talk about Santa Claus. I want to talk about Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for me. He's why we're celebrating Christmas. Amen. Santa Claus didn't die for me. The Easter Bunny didn't raise from the dead for me. None of this. See, the world tries to get rid of Jesus Christ. It's always trying to get rid of him. Don't talk about that. When my children were little, and we'd go in the store, we'd be in the store buying toys, and the lady behind the counter would say, what is Santa Claus going to bring you off for Christmas, honey? And my kids would say, nothing. And my son Samson said, if he come by our house, he might get shot. He was joking. We were joking. But it ain't about Santa Claus. The gift that God's already given if you're saved. It's about this devil trying to destroy the seed. And the seed is inside. Once you ask Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he's trying to destroy you. What you got to be on, you got to be on guard duty. Always on guard. And watching and studying this book and asking God to help. The Baptist church is not the way. There's no religion on the face of this earth is the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way. If you're here today, you're not saved, and you're trusting a catechism or a baptism that you did, more likely you're not saved. You need to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. Come into your heart. That's being honest. That cuts out. And this is one middleman you don't want to cut out. Jesus Christ, the middleman. You don't want to cut him out. But it cuts out religion. Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen? All right, Father, thank you, God, this morning for your word. I pray, God, I was trying to make it as clear as I possibly could. And I pray, God, you'd help my brothers and sisters in Christ today. Help them to live for you. Help them be on guard. Help people not be depressed because they don't have the money or the gifts or whatever. Help us to rejoice that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing that we're going to heaven. And, Lord, that we are, Father, that we have a Father in heaven that cares about us and gave us the greatest gift that ever could be given. It's the gift of eternal life. And my Lord, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for all the many blessings you bless us with. And God, you give us handfuls on purpose. And I pray, God, there be somebody here today that's not saved. I pray you save them for your glory, for your honor. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. I asked you a minute ago.